I want to bring Audrey in here really quickly before we hit this break. Audrey, I'm so sorry to keep you holding. We were just getting some calls for Stephen A. Leahy. I hope you got some good tax advice from him, though.
I do. That was fascinating.
I know, right? Well, I mean, Dennis's problem with his daughter is a common one we've heard before, and other ones as well. Audrey, how are you doing? You excited for the holiday?
Yes, it's hard to believe it's this week. Very excited. How about you?
I am. I'm ready. I was just telling Stephen and the listeners that I'm having a taco bar party tomorrow for my family. I'm making margaritas, so people can text on in. I need a good recipe for a margarita on the rocks. 312-981-7200 to do that. Audrey, we're going to talk about some new laws in 2025. And I know you looked through a bunch of them to find some interesting ones. But one I wanted to start with really quickly before we hit this break in the news is the new Illinois law requiring employers to disclose a pay scale and benefits in their job postings. Tell us a little bit about this.
Right. Yeah. So that's new. That's effective January 1st of 2025. And so that's an amendment to the Equal Pay Act, which has been in effect for a little bit. But yes, it requires pay scales, benefit information to be listed in job postings, but it also requires extended transparency to current employees by informing them about all job openings so that they also can apply.
Now, this doesn't mean you publish everyone's individual salary as a private company. This is just providing a legitimate range for what it is, right?
Correct, right. So for any open postings, you have to make sure you include the pay scale and the benefits that could be available for that specific job.
A lot of job postings now have some sort of range, but sometimes it's like you'll make between $30,000 and $12 million. You have to be narrower than that in their focus, I believe, is how they want this to be written, Audrey.
Correct. Yes, it has to be narrower. It can still be a range, and then it also needs to include benefits, if there are benefits, because a lot of times the postings don't include whether or not there is benefits or what type of benefits are included. So that must be included now as well.
Okay. All right, Audrey, we just started with that one. We're going to get to some others in the 2 o'clock hour. Hang on, okay?
Okay.
All right. That's Audrey Anderson from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. She's excellent, by the way. Spent some time in the state's attorney's office as a prosecutor, now as a defense attorney. She does awesome work, too, representing all sorts of folks all over the area.
You're listening to Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association with host John Hansen. Today's show is sponsored by attorney Stephen A. Leahy from OPM Tax Advocates, attorney Nicholas Vogelzang from Vogelzang Law, and attorney Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan. Now, here's John Hansen, and let's get legal.
Well, let's not forget Audrey Anderson from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. Yeah, it's Let's Get Legal. We're powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, and we go until 2:30. I had a momentary moment, I guess that's what that is, of panic when Sylvia said that the Blackhawks pregame was at 2:30. Patrick, for a moment, I thought, am I supposed to be at the United Center? I forgot that it was a road game for a moment. I don't know if you've ever still had that dream years after leaving school that you somehow missed all your classes and there's the test. That's a reoccurring nightmare that I have of that, oh no, the Hawks are playing and I'm not there and I have to rush over there. I just got to play that one out live, Audrey Anderson. Do you ever have that dream, Audrey, maybe a law school dream of you didn't study but the big finals coming up?
Oh, definitely, yeah. And now if you miss a case or a hearing that you forgot or didn't schedule.
So it's gone from dreams or nightmares about being a student to actually things as a lawyer.
Yes, yes. And when I heard that the Hawks was on at 2:30, I thought, well, how are you in the studio? But then I remembered it was an away game, too.
Well, I'm glad you panicked for me. I appreciate that. That just shows the level how much you care. Audrey Anderson can be reached at AndersonAA.com, 630-877-5800. Before we get into the rest of the laws that we wanted to talk about, Audrey, just really quickly, what is it that you do?
So I, in our firm, we do criminal defense for juveniles and adults. So if they're charged with traffic tickets all the way up to murder, various crimes in between. And we also represent parents, guardians, adults who have been indicated by DCFS and doing hearings or being investigated by DCFS.
Most of the things you do are probably those various things in between, I assume.
Yes, a lot of the various things in between.
I'm surprised I haven't seen that on a billboard yet. Traffic tickets to murder. I mean, I shouldn't laugh. It is what you do, and that is what, you know, everyone deserves a defense in this country, of course. But most of the things are probably in the in-between of those two things. So we wanted to bring you on to kind of talk about some new laws. Before I get to them, I always was kind of curious, since you did work in the state's attorney's office on the prosecutor side, do they, like, send a memo when new laws get passed to, like, give everyone in the prosecutor's office is like a one sheet of how it's supposed to work? Or is it up to each prosecutor in each county when they see a new law written by the legislature to kind of adjust and inform everyone of how it works from then on out?
No. So most prosecutor's offices, they hold conferences and seminars for their attorneys, or they'll have weekly meetings or monthly meetings to give everyone an update of what's going on, what they're going to be seeing in the new year. So they do that for their prosecutors. But then a lot of prosecutors also send out bulletins by email to all the police departments, usually the upper echelon chiefs, deputy chiefs, or lieutenants. And then they are responsible for filtering it down to their detectives and sergeants and officers. So prosecutors make sure that law enforcement is involved and up to date as well. And then the prosecutors give seminars also to their police officers to make sure that they all know of the laws that are coming up for the next year.
Interesting. But each county kind of does it on their own.
Correct. Yes, it's each county. Some of the bigger counties have their own prosecutor unit that deals with this. Obviously, smaller counties don't have that luxury or ability. So, but they still inform people in different ways.
I didn't know if you just got on the world's largest conference call with the state legislature and they told you all at the same time how it works. And I kind of make light of it, but I mean, this is important to make sure that our law enforcement knows exactly what the new laws are and how they're to be adjudicated, because laws are written, but they're not always written perfectly in terms of analyzing every hypothetical situation, right? And that's where the discretion of prosecutors and police kind of comes in, which is, I think, what we want as a society, but can often lead to, well, then there's some issues. And with a new law, I imagine sometimes that can be a little confusing.
Right. There are definitely growing pains, especially with regards to new laws. A lot of times, attorneys that practice every day in court and are dealing with these laws get somewhat frustrated because they could be written by individuals that don't have the daily experience of the practical effect these laws have. And the laws, there's hundreds of them that get approved every year. So not all of them everyone can be on top of. So you have people that have to dig through random laws that have nothing to do with criminal to try to find the ones that are criminal. And a lot of the bigger state attorney's offices have people that are in touch with Springfield. And then there's also an Illinois State Bar Association, as well as Prosecutor Bar Association. So they are a good network. So all the state attorney's offices can be connected to one another through email and seminars so that they can make sure that everyone is informed about everything that's new and that could impact prosecuting the case.
I imagine that was employed pretty well during the rollout of the Safety Act.
Oh, very true. I know the prosecutor's offices, they had a lot of people that were involved all over and making sure all the prosecutor's offices were aware. And then the same with defense attorneys. Their public defender's offices, they have a statewide organization you can participate in, and they make sure that they keep each other up to date as well about how that affects doing the defense work as well.
I always just find that little stuff interesting about how the government actually works, right? We hear through the news about new laws passes, we talk about them, but like the nuts and bolts about how it actually gets enforced, I think is an undercovered part of this story. And it's also wrong to assume that it always goes swimmingly and smoothly each and every time.
Right. There is a transition period. I know officers are supposed to be on top of every single law, and same with prosecutors. January 1st at 12:01, just past midnight, they're supposed to be up to date on everything. But thankfully, we live in a computer age where now you can Google, look at the laws themselves, and try to interpret it together.
I just chuckle because I just picture a police officer sitting in the squad car looking at someone doing something and being like, wait, hold on, I got to Google this. I know that's probably not what actually happens. Our law enforcement are on top of things more, but yeah, everyone's human, right? I mean, we talk about all these new laws and you talk about compounding year after year. I don't know how you all keep it straight, to be honest.
It's very difficult for law enforcement, prosecutors, to keep it all, especially law enforcement, your boots on the ground dealing with this in the moment. 2025 didn't have as many significant and changes to laws as years past, but still it's a lot. 2024, 2023 had significant changes. So it takes a lot for law enforcement. They not only are working their shifts, but then off shift to be up to date on everything. That's
absolutely
significant.
All right, well, let's get to a few of them. We talked about pay transparency, where employers with 15 or more employees have to disclose a pay scale and benefit information in job postings. The minimum wage itself is going up across the entire state, right?
Right, right. So it's changing for hourly employees and then those that are receiving tips. So it's my understanding, I believe minimum wage is currently $14 an hour. That increases to $15. And then employees who receive tips, I believe currently it's $8.40 an hour, and it's going up to $9 an hour.
Okay.
I
think a lot of people might say, wait, isn't it already $15? Well, I think Chicago has been $15 for a while, but this brings the rest of the state up to that level.
Very true, yes. So Chicago was ahead by doing that as opposed to other counties who did not.
It is interesting. I mean, the minimum wage law has been hyper-focused, and it hasn't been changed in the federal level for a long, long time. Most states kind of do it their own way. But even a state like Illinois, I mean, we're a big state with different cost of livings, whether you're in Chicago, the suburbs, or maybe some of the more rural areas. And yet we are still governed by state law when it comes to minimum wage. And I imagine that's something that companies are going to have to work through.
Right. Very, very true. More rural or downstate, depending on where you are, unfortunately, some areas can't really necessarily afford the $15 an hour, whereas others where you have expensive restaurants or businesses that take in significant income, it's easier to pay your employees a higher minimum wage. So that's one of the arguments against increasing it. But obviously, the cost of living, inflation is significant for everybody. So
right.
We have to make sure that we care for one another.
Absolutely. I like this one. There's going to be a new law to make canceling the gym easier, huh?
I know. I saw that, too, and it made me laugh because the first of the year, everyone's so excited and starts joining membership. But, yes, so now there is a law with regards to canceling. You can do it via email or the gym's website.
Okay. So the gym has to allow you to just send an email or a note and to make it simple. I think there was an entire Friends episode. I don't really watch Friends diligently like other people's do, where it was incredibly hard for, I think, was it Joe? I don't even know who it was, one of the characters, to cancel his gym membership. And I think if anyone's ever been in part of a gym to try and cancel it, it can be something.
Right. And I think that's probably the concern, too, because people are obviously making New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
And so people see all these things and are thinking, oh, I want to. But then maybe they're hesitant because they're concerned about what happens in 3 months or even sooner, perhaps, when they decide that they can't keep up with that pace. So what happens to them? So hopefully this is an incentive to have healthier citizens of Illinois.
Absolutely. Let's talk about landlords. There's a lot of laws that regulate landlords and tenants and that relationship there. There's a new one about retaliation. What is it?
Right. So a lot of times tenants complain, rightfully so, because their pipes aren't working or they don't have significant heat or air conditioning, but heat mostly, power, things like that. So now it is finally a law that it's obviously against public policy, and it is now illegal for landlords to be retaliatory. So what is retaliatory? So people, thankfully, the legislature has been more specific that you can't evict someone or increase their rent or decrease services, or file a lawsuit to get them evicted.
Okay. I mean, you could probably increase rent to the normal market rate, but it's probably like anything that's exorbitant there.
Right, right. Very true.
Yeah, it's always the devil's in the details. Youth vaping and e-cigarettes, that has become a huge issue, and almost one that is, if you don't have a teenage kid, I think it, or you know a teenager, I think it kind of flew under the radar. It really did for me. I had no idea how popular vaping had become. Like, I see people doing it, don't get me wrong. But in the high schools, they are really dealing with a big issue right now. One that I thought we, like, had curbed out long ago when smoking, we had basically killed off for young adults. Not the case with vaping.
No, right. It's not the case at all anymore. Right. People think, oh, it's bad to have smoking with cigarettes, and there's a stigma supposedly about that. But vaping has really taken off for high school as well as middle school students. So I know preteens that unfortunately are vaping.
Ugh.
And it's because they say it's not as bad for you. It's not as concentrated THC or anything like that, or even the nicotine, which that isn't correct at all. Or people just think because it's flavored that it can't be bad for you. So that's why young adults are doing it, or preteens and teenagers.
Well, there's a new amendment trying to curb this.
Right, sorry.
Do you need to get a glass of water? I can take a commercial break, no. Audrey.
I'm sorry. I'm fine now. I apologize.
Oh, no, you don't have to apologize. It happens. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, and plus the how easy it is, because, you know, you can't be with your kid all the time, so people could have things shipped through the mail. So now you cannot purchase e-cigarettes in the mail to anyone that's under 21. It can't be shipped to you. And then it also restricts the manufacturing, distributing, or retailing from advertising or marketing or promoting it, that people will think that it's not a tobacco product, because a lot of times they make it seem like it's just something that is recreational. It doesn't have nicotine in it. And so people, adults, young adults, probably think it's not an issue, but it truly isn't an issue. And they can't market it that way for kids anymore.
Right. So they can still market vaping, but they can't do it in a way that would cause someone to mistake it for something that is not a tobacco product.
Correct. So that has to be clearly, prominently displayed, and it can't be hidden or make it deceptive for people who are looking into purchasing it.
All right. What's happening with our driver's licenses? Are we able to now just use our phones to show folks it?
I know that seems what it should be great, because people now, you don't necessarily have to have an insurance card, a physical piece of paper for insurance, but rather it can be on your phone. So now the Secretary of State is permitted to issue digital driver's license or state identification. However, you also have to have a physical ID or driver's license in order to be able to get the digital one.
Ah.
So it would be in addition to that.
But would you have to produce both of them, or could you produce the digital one if, like, an officer pulled you over?
No, unfortunately, law enforcement, you must present the actual physical identification or driver's license.
So then what would the digital one be for? Just like at the grocery store, showing your ID to buy your liquor or something?
Correct. So private agencies, different businesses can choose whether or not they want to accept electronic IDs. So perhaps if you're purchasing a car and you need to have an ID, or you're renting a vehicle, you can have a digital ID as opposed to an actual physical driver's license.
All right. Hearing devices. This is interesting, and I think a good idea for a lot of folks that are seeing the cost of that. Illinois is going to try and make insurances pay a little bit up for these, right?
Right. And this was interesting. I never even noticed this or knew this before. However, apparently insurance companies were required to provide coverage for medical necessary hearing instruments or hearing aids for those that were under 18, so juveniles, 17 and under. However, the law has changed now that insurance companies must now provide coverage for medically necessary hearing instruments, hearing aids, for any individuals, regardless of the age.
Ah.
So this is obviously for seniors or others that have lost their hearing or are losing their hearing, regardless of their age.
Okay, so they now have to do that. All right, that's, I think, the ones that I really wanted to get to, Audrey. I appreciate you giving us the rundown here. I know there's some community media programs that they're trying to strengthen as well, and some other ones about injectors and medically necessary injectors for children and teens. There's a bunch of different articles up online for where you can find the full list of Illinois' new laws, and I appreciate you breaking it down for us. One more time, Audrey, why don't you tell us exactly who should be reaching out to you and why?
Right. So anyone that has been or is being investigated by DCFS or police officer, law enforcement, or if you've been charged with the crime or you've been indicated by DCFS, you definitely should not be handling these things on your own, because these are experienced individuals that are investigating you. You need to have someone that's experienced on your side.
Absolutely. 630-877-5800, AndersonAA.com. Audrey, we appreciate it. Take care. All right.
Thank you. You too. Thank you for having me.